cooking is all about people. Food is maybe the only universal thing that really has the power to bring everyone together. No matter what culture, everyone around the world, people eat together. Guy Fieri.
So welcome back to the Seek and Enjoy podcast. I'm your host, Josh Morgan. I'm here today with a special guest, Aaron Davis with Char and Bark Barbecue. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Josh. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Aaron and I have known each other for quite some time. We kind of grew up together. We had Boy Scouts and then different choir stuff growing up, and then we were in a band together. So Aaron and I go way back.
Don't forget baseball.
Oh, yeah. Baseball. Yeah, we definitely played baseball together, too. So yes. a little bit of everything. Well, Aaron, on the Seek and Enjoy podcast, this show, what we're doing is discussing the dynamic between your daily 9-to-5 job and your passions, the things that we're actually alive for, the things that you like to do outside of work. So first, Aaron, I wanted to talk to you about your job. And of course, we're not going to name your company or anything, but so I understand that you're a manager at a consumer finance company. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a district manager, multi-unit manager for the largest publicly traded small loan consumer finance company in the nation. So it's a pretty large corporation.
Oh, great. And then what do you do there?
So I'm a multi-unit manager. So I hire staff, train. I have about 25 employees underneath me and travel to a different location every day. So I get to talk to different people, on a daily basis.
Yeah, there you go. So you've got a lot of networking going on there.
Yes.
Awesome. What about your job, doing that and meeting other people all the time? Like what does that taught you about life or how has that job helped you on a personal level?
I think personally for me, my biggest con to myself, at least growing up, was patience. I'm very impatient. So it has taught me a great deal of patience to be able to learn that, people work differently. They learn differently. They obviously think differently. And so it's definitely has taught me that.
Well, that's great. I recently at the credit union that I work at, I've gained a mentee, a kind of a mentor-mentee relationship. And I was speaking to my mentee last week, and she was kind of telling me a little bit about what you're saying there. She does like an audit and compliance portion of a different credit union in Oklahoma. But she meets with a lot of different people and kind of does what you do, wears a lot of hats. And she was talking a little bit about how you kind of have to approach everyone differently. And, not everybody wants to be communicated to the same way. So I think that it sounds like you do a lot of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, on that side of it, it is a lot of what you do. I do see the same people, every month on a monthly basis. So I don't, meet a whole bunch of new people because it's my team. Right. But it does help, in that aspect, because you do get to learn them and you kind of figure out what, makes them tick.
Yeah, kind of like what's their style? How do they enjoy being talked to?
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Aaron, let's talk about the real reason we're here is going to be your hobby, Char and Bark Barbecue, which in my mind, the way that I think of it, Aaron, is that it's kind of like a Texas style barbecue with a Tex-Mex flair. Is that what you would describe it as?
I mean, I've never really thought about it that way necessarily, but I would have to probably agree with you. I definitely have a huge Tex-Mex influence being from Texas, and I like more Texas style barbecue. And a lot of the recipes I do have a lot of Tex-Mex flair.
Oh yeah, for sure. Just kind of go over for anybody who hasn't seen the channel yet, Aaron's menu as far as like different recipes. Aaron is a great teacher. He likes to show people how to do things step by step. For the menu of things that I've seen on your YouTube channel, looks like you've got your Texas style brisket, pork tenderloin, loaded fries made with masa, which that's amazing. Smoked queso, smoked burrito de res, tacos, queso tacos. You've got elote Mexican street corn, and then other recipes for how to make like barbecue sauces and salsa. So got quite a repertoire going there, and I wanted to congratulate you. As of May the 24th, over 400 subscribers to your YouTube channel. How does that feel?
I mean, you know, when I started it, I didn't really do it for the subscribers necessarily. I did it just to share my passion in a way. So, you know, the amount of views I've gotten on some of my videos and the subscribers is pretty awesome, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not a million subscribers or anything, but, you know, I guess it is an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a great start and, you know, definitely a milestone to be proud of. So congrats on that, man.
Thank you.
So here in Texas, barbecue is something that everybody is exposed to from a pretty early age. You know, since you're passionate about making barbecue, what is your earliest memory of barbecue?
Well, to be honest with you, man, I didn't really grow up necessarily around barbecue per se. I was more of a grill type of guy.
Right.
And so, you know, we did a lot of chicken and burgers and hot dogs. And so I remember growing up doing that and, you know, obviously helping them do that. But when it comes to, you know, true Texas barbecue, it's the low and slow, you know, it's the pit, you're controlling your fire. I was never really around it. I just wanted to learn how to smoke meat about 5 years ago or 4 years ago. And I bought a, you know, a cheap offset smoker and kind of started it from there, to be honest with you.
So this is a recent passion of yours, and it sounds like you've got it, just took it and run with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, just like with anything in life, there's mistakes you make and there's a learning curve and you kind of learn from them. And just, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a pit master just yet, but because there's still things you can learn, you know, from here on out.
Oh, for sure. But you're the master of your own pit. Nobody else does it, right?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You know, I think that's another thing is kinds of barbecue, depending on where you go. And I think that's, you know, barbecue is as much of a form of kind of art and self-expression as it is just a culinary delight. But, you know, different people have different recipes or mixes. They make their own rubs. They make their own sauces. They cut their meat different ways. So it sounds like, you know, it's definitely a labor of love.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, especially if you just talk about regionally in the United States, you know, Texas to, you know, North Carolina, you know, out that way, they're more whole hog and it's covered with, you know, a piece of sheet metal with cylinder blocks and stuff. So, you know, just in the States as well, it can be a lot different than, you know, even outside the United States.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Specifically in Texas, there are so many good barbecue joints. Do you have a favorite barbecue restaurant?
I do. So I recently was able to go back home to Dallas-Fort Worth, and I tried Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. I have to say that has to be the best barbecue overall that I've ever had.
Man, I haven't been out there yet, but I've heard great things.
It is delicious. You know, he calls it Mexique, but it is really, really good. So it's kind of up my alley.
Yeah, so that's probably why you like it so much. It's kind of like on the same wavelength. So what is your favorite thing about cooking the barbecue and how's that impacted you?
My favorite thing? I mean, to me, it's kind of like it's how I release stress, to be honest with you. You know, some people release it by music, and I used to be that way. And so I guess kind of why I picked up my barbecue is because, you know, I used to play music and that was a big part of my life. And I still love and enjoy music, but I kind of had to have some type of release and just kind of sit in there. And I mean, sometimes you're out there for 12 to 15 hours, you know, watching the pit or even longer. So it's kind of a stress release for me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think there is a big connection between barbecue and music, like you're talking about. I think it's in Bedford that they do a barbecue and blues festival most of the years. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's a lot of that kind of low and slow goes along with, you know, different music styles. But I mean, like for me, like I prefer kind of like Texas country music while I barbecue, because it just kind of slow and dirtily and like, it kind of feels like a lazy river of smoke. You just kind of see your smoke flowing out of the top of the pipe and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm just hanging out. Like there's no worries.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's a huge connect, I think. There's a lot of musicians that barbecue. I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but Dave Grohl, that he loves to barbecue. That is his big thing.
Didn't he start like a restaurant?
Yeah, I believe he did. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but he did. But he,
man, I'll have to look that up. Dave Grohl's Barbecue Restaurant. So different cuts of meat. What is the craziest meat that you've ever had? It could have been something that you prepared yourself or something that you had someplace.
The craziest cut of meat that I've ever had. I've tried sweetbreads before. Sweetbreads are more of they can be like a delicacy. If you're familiar with, you know, like the Texas de Brazil or those type of restaurants, sometimes okay. they'll serve sweetbreads.
So what is it? What is a sweetbread?
It is the, like the lining of the intestines of,
oh
yeah. So it's interesting, to say the least, but
doesn't sound like bread at all.
No, it's not, but it's probably the most interesting that I've ever eaten. You know, the taste wasn't bad, to be honest with you. It was more of the texture. So if you're a texture person, you know, most people won't enjoy it for that reason.
Right. But
it didn't taste bad.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think I'm definitely a texture person, but you know, it's kind of a battle. Cause if it tastes good, you're like, huh, I could probably get over this for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I took a couple of bites and I ate pretty much most of what they served to me on the plate. So, by the end I was trying to use some sauce or something they had just kind of help it out, but
yeah. Yeah. So Aaron, how long did you live down in San Antonio? You were there for like 2 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, I moved back twice down there. So probably 2 to 3 years, if you look at overall time frame. Yeah.
I think that your time like working at a Mexican restaurant and living in San Antonio influenced your style of barbecue at all?
I would have to say it definitely did. I think just living in Texas, it can. But San Antonio is really big on barbacoa as a big, you know, I guess kind of meat or style of taco down there. So, yeah. And what barbacoa actually means in Spanish is barbecue. And so barbacoa is slow smoked. It's basically, usually they will dig a hole. You know, I guess the more authentic way is to dig a hole in the ground and to put the meat in there under the cover it up.
Yeah.
So it's cooked low and slow for a very long time. And it kind of has to, because it's, you know, it's cow head. Usually the cheeks, which it would be called like cachete de res in Spanish. But yeah, I love barbacoa. That's my favorite type of taco. So I guess that's kind of where I picked up some of my flair and my barbecue itself.
The good old face meat. Man, you know, you're talking about the hole dug in the ground. The first time I ever saw that in real life, I went to my buddy Jesse's house. They have a farm kind of in Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, I guess it's called cabrito.
Oh yeah, goat.
They had the whole goat and they dug the hole and they covered it with these like giant like palm leaves, or I don't know what kind of leaves they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember like they're like, okay, it's time to pull this thing out of the ground. And I was like, well, pull what out of the ground? We went over there and just moved all the coals and pulled this whole goat. Mm-hmm. And man, it was like fall off the bone. That's an amazing way of preparing it. It's like you don't even need much aside coals and a shovel, and you can cook amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's basically a. You know, it's a earth made smoker is what it is.
Yeah.
So it's the first, you know, smoker probably ever invented was someone dig a hole in the ground and with some fire or wood or coals and, you know, started cooking meat.
Yeah. And you're off to the races. That's crazy.
Yep.
Are there any family recipes that your family asks you to make over and over again? Like there's something that they're like, okay, Aaron, this is definitely the one, like keep making that.
So I recently went back to my in-laws, a couple of months back and I made beef ribs for them, for the first time, which they really enjoyed, they really enjoyed that. They do like my brisket a lot, but I guess to answer your question, they want me to keep making my birria tacos.
Yeah. Those look amazing.
Yeah. They really enjoyed those. So that's probably the one thing that I get requested the most about if someone wants to request something.
Yeah. And is that one like more time intensive? Like you looks like there's a lot of prep behind that one.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways to do it. Usually you don't smoke the meat at all. It's just cooked in a pot. So it's not necessarily barbecue in that essence, but yeah, it's a five to six hour type of cook. So it's still kind of a low and slow process. Cause you have to render the meat It's just rendered usually in the consomme itself.
Got you. Speaking of long cook times, what was the longest time that you've ever had to cook something? I say had to, got to.
Well, sometimes it is had to. So sometimes you're like, man, this is just not ready yet. But that's kind of another thing. You know, I learned patience. I know you're relating job to what our passion is. And barbecue, you have to have patience with it. So, you know, if you're impatient, your end product cannot be as good. But honestly, probably this past weekend, or actually a couple, you know, Friday night, Saturday. So I did a brisket and it took about 17 and a half hours.
Wow.
for it to be done. So
how big was the brisket?
It was a 16 pound before I trimmed it.
So, oh yeah. That's a monster.
Yeah.
This is Memorial Day weekend. So for a lot of us, we've got a 3-day weekend, a lot of people out there cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, our buddy Eric, he told me that he was using your YouTube channel as a guide on how to, you know, cut and trim and rub down the brisket. And so he had told me, you know, that, that's something that really helped him. And in my personal experience, when I made my first brisket, I think it was, oh gosh, about a month ago, you were the first person I went to. I was like, man, I gotta ask somebody who knows, cause I've never done this before. But right. Yeah, for me, when I did my cook it on the brisket, it was about 18 hours, but it was only like a 13 pound brisket. So I think that it helps to have a buddy, you know, if you're doing an offset and, you know, feeding the wood and everything, versus, you know, like doing the pellet grill. But I think if I had a buddy to help me tend the fire, it would have gone a little better.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, so I cheat in a way, and I will usually end up starting on my offset because a piece of meat only holds so much smoke. It can only get so much smoke flavor. But it does help if you're talking about the scientific part of barbecue. It helps build the bark more on an offset than it will a pellet. But I usually end up cheating and I'll wrap it and then put it in my pellet, which is kind of the same thing as an oven. But yeah, I will agree. When I go to my in-laws, you know, my father-in-law, he has a pretty nice pit himself. I don't know if you've seen it, but we cook on his, and, you know, me and him kind of take turns tending to the fire. And so it definitely helps. You know, he's been barbecuing and smoking food for a long time. His grandfather had a barbecue restaurant somewhere in some small town. So he has a lot of experience and stuff and knowledge. So it's kind of cool to share that with someone else.
That's great. And that's an amazing relationship and bonding time. So have you got to learn a lot from him?
Yeah. I mean, you know, more it was learning of his pit per se, and cause every pit is different of how right. It works, but it was, you know, he has an offset and he also has a vertical at the end, kind of like a you know, where you would cook, you know, ribs or sausages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he's taught me things. I've taught him things. You know, I taught him how to preheat the wood and put your next log on top of your firebox.
Man.
Yep.
Let's talk about that for a second. So that is a huge game changer. And I just recently learned that. And, you know, when Eric was making his this weekend, I told him about that trick. And wow, like that is so crucial. So to kind of explain that, what Aaron's talking about is if you put your piece of wood on top of your firebox while it's going, it's going to produce a clean smoke because all the moisture most of the moisture is out of it before you ever put it in the fire. And so once it's in the fire, it doesn't have to release all of that white smoke or what we call dirty smoke. And so it's going to be clean burning a lot faster. Is that kind of how it goes, Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, so, that you hit the nail on the head with it, but the reason, you know, what dirty smoke is, they think that you're not really smoking food unless there's a big, you know, chimney full of white smoke coming out of your smoker, which is honestly the wrong way to smoke food. And why that is because it'll kind of give it a bitter taste.
Yeah, kind of like sour, right?
Yeah. And so a lot of people, you know, I'm in a couple barbecue groups on Facebook and stuff, and I see a lot of photos of people posting there and people are like, oh, look at this smoke ring. And, you know, the times that I had smoke rings, you know, quarter inch or half inch was when I didn't know how to actually smoke meat properly. I guess right. Use the offset. And so when I see that, it's usually kind of a telltale sign that that piece of meat is going to be very bitter kind of tasting and that they didn't have a clean smoke.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tell really great barbecue just in, you know, by photos and stuff, but it has a smoke ring, but obviously, but there's, if it's a really big one, then usually it's because they didn't have a lot of clean smoke, but.
Right. Or they ended up, like you said, I mean, a meat can only hold so much smoke, but right. There is a breaking point where you can add more smoke, but it's not going to taste as good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of science behind it, especially talking brisket or anything that you're, if you're trying to build a bark at all, you know, if that's the style of barbecue you're going for, which is Texas style. But there's a lot of science behind it and, you know, the sugars breaking down and into the meat and making that bark, but which is caused by that low and slow, which is why, you know, you have to do that to get that type of bark.
Yeah. So for anybody just starting out, wanting to try and make, you know, like long cooked, low and slow, barbecue, is there any recommendations, like something that you would say, okay, well, you know, try this cut of meat for this time of temp, you know, what would you suggest for somebody just starting out?
I'd probably say the most forgiving piece of meat that will feed a lot of people would probably be a pork butt or, you know, a pork shoulder, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of intramuscular fat in pork butt. So, you know, even if you, you know, bought an offset for the first time and you're trying to use it and you have some flare ups here and there, it's not going to ruin it. It's probably the most forgiving just because of how much, you know, intramuscular fat and, you know, the fat cap and everything. That's probably the best beginner piece of meat, I would have to say, if you're doing, you know, low and slow barbecue to try out.
Yep. And how would you prep that? Would you like rub it down in a binder or like mustard or vinegar or something and then season it up, or how would you do that?
Yeah, I mean the easiest go-to would be, you know, a binder is just, it doesn't add any flavor, it's just binder. So you could just use some mustard and rub it down, and you technically don't even have to trim a pork butt, to be honest. You know, you can score the fat cap if you want to kind of help render that down a little bit better on it, but mustard and rub, and you know, let the rub tack up a little bit, about 30 minutes, and throw it on your pit. It's a pretty simple process.
Awesome. So on the other end of that extreme, if you could barbecue any one piece of meat, like there's no dollar amount on it or no like restrictions on it, like what would you cook and how would you prepare that?
I mean, I guess I'm just kind of a Texas style guy. I love brisket a lot. I like ribs too. My ribs are, you know, my wife really loves my ribs, but I don't know. There's something about brisket that I just really enjoy. This weekend, I just did my actually first prime brisket, which was a pretty big learning curve going from select and choice. So it was pretty interesting.
So can you explain how those cuts of meat work? So like the select and choice, that's going to be what's like most readily available at like the grocery store?
Yeah. So, choice is the lowest grade, and what that means, it's not that it's a bad cut of meat or anything in that instance, but, it all has to do with the intramuscular fat. And so the less intramuscular fat, the more time it will probably take for that cut of meat to be tender. And so, you know, select is the next one, and then it's prime, and then it's Wagyu, which has a ton of intramuscular fat, but
man.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to smoke a Wagyu brisket just once, but the learning curve was, you know, with select and choice, you don't want to cook by internal temperature. But with those pieces of meat on those choices or selects, you know, you're going to have to probably cook it to 203 at least, sometimes more. With the prime, it was done at 198.
Wow.
So, you know, I was starting to check it, or I probably could have pulled it at 195, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say that it was overcooked, but it was really, really tender, a little bit more tender on the flat than I would have preferred, to be honest.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that muscular fat in the prime brisket was something that I learned, which is kind of going back to, I still learn everything, you know, something new every day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a ton to learn, and definitely, you know, but I know that that's something that you enjoyed doing. You really like that. Aside from just like the the doing it itself, like, you know, like the tending the fire and rubbing down the meat and all that, like you like kind of like learning and researching about these things. And that's why I think you're definitely a great resource for people to check out. So I just wanted to say that I appreciate you for starting that barbecue YouTube channel, Char and Bark Barbecue, being a wonderful outlet for you to do something that you're passionate about. I think that that's a great way for other people to learn. I just want to personally say thank you for that.
Of course. Appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate that thought process there.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps, you know, for people who want to do it and who are interested in it. Aaron's YouTube channel, Char and Bark Barbecue, is wonderful. So I recommend that to anybody wanting to start. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to say about barbecue or life and passion in general?
You know, for me, kind of barbecue in a way is kind of what you alluded to earlier. It's more fun, I guess, when you have a buddy or, you know, it's food. So, you know, I feel like barbecue can be shared with any age group, you know, any, you know, race, religion, anything in that aspect. It's something that can be shared with anybody. Someone who maybe not have ever tried barbecue, try it before and see if they like it. But it's kind of a community thing where, you know, usually have a couple buddies or whatever, and you can spend time with them and kind of just shoot the breeze while, you know, making food for your family and friends.
Like you said, I mean, it's a regional and kind of a cultural thing at some points. I mean, like your Kansas barbecue is going to be different from your Mississippi, different from your Hawaiian barbecue, different from your Texas style. So everybody's got kind of their own thing. And then you've got Brazilian barbecue, you've got Korean barbecue. There's so many different ways and to prepare it and to enjoy. Ever since caveman, just, you know, running a piece of meat on a stick over a fire.
Yep. I mean, that's actually the definition of barbecue, is just meat cooked over a fire, essentially, or, you know, food prepared over a fire, over an open flame.
That's awesome.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time and for being here today. And to the listener, if you want to seek out new recipes and enjoy some delicious Tex-Mex inspired barbecue, you can follow Aaron Davis's account on Instagram and YouTube. His handle is @charbarkbbq. And until next time, I'm your host, Josh Morgan, on the Seek and Enjoy podcast. Find what makes you happy.